We're already missing them. They're here to answer any questions. I'm just going to try to guide this and receive any questions that you might have. If we don't have the answers, we'll tell you we don't have the answers, and maybe you may have thought of something that we can look at as we go ahead. So with that in mind, let's begin. This actually begins because we have an issue with the floor. And I'm sure you've noticed that when you come into the worship center. That floor is either raising on one end or sinking on one end. And it has become a hazard, particularly for those who cannot step up very high or using a walker. Now, the point of this is we have to find out what's going on there. In order to do that, we're going to have to lift the carpet. We've had a couple guys in here, engineers. They have looked at the foundation. Praise God, the foundation is not cracked. The walls are not cracked, which are very good signs for us. But the raising of the, or the lowering, whatever it is, of the concrete is an issue. That's where the slabs are poured out there. So we're going to have to pull the carpet. They're going to have to take a probe and go down there. If I'm wrong, Bruce, just tell. Take a probe and look and see if we have a big vacant area down there. Maybe there's some from water that was left there, water leakage that's happened since that time. Or if it's just a soil thing where it's raised up a little bit and the raising is done. Best case scenario is the raising is done and we can just grind it all flat and that portion will be done. But that's the key thing that we have to do, first of all, is to see what's going on with that floor. What most people notice is when they come in the door, by the way, you can notice it a little bit, even in the foyer, there's a little bit of lines there. I don't know if those lines are from raising or just from where on the carpet has been there so long. But the one when you come in the door, that line actually goes all the way underneath the pews to that wall over on the south side. It comes underneath the wall from the ladies' restroom. If you go right up here in this hallway, right at the turn right there before you go into the foyer, and look down at the tile, we've had that tile, the grout, replaced probably, what, 3 or 4 times? Because that crack keeps cracking the grout. If it hasn't cracked the tile, it just cracks the grout, then it comes up. So we've had that replaced. So that crack runs like that. So we're going to have to see, again, what all that is. So that's the issue that we initially have to deal with. Timing on that one, we can't tell you because we don't know. Depends on what they find when they get in there. Hopefully it is a quick fix. Hopefully it's just leveling that off and stuff, and that'll make things run smoother. But what that means is next Sunday will be our last Sunday in the worship service until that's done. In the worship center until that's done. So on Sunday morning we will meet in here, and there won't be any tables back there for you table lovers. It won't be back there. There'll be chairs all the way back. Chairs all the way back. So it'll be like it was a few years ago for you here. So that's what's going to happen as far as what we have to do. And to do that, we have to pull up carpet. We have to pull up pews. So then comes the next question. What do we do once we're through fixing the problem that we have? What direction do we go? And here's where we really are hoping to get some of your input. And I'm sure there's 100 different ideas. And what we want to do is a couple things. We want to make the worship center functional. We want to make it attractive as we can, of course. We don't want to lose the essence of it being a place of worship. But there's a whole lot of options that we can do there. So let's begin with the floor option. One of the things that we're dealing with in the worship center, not just what's going to happen to the floor, but with the sound system that's in there also, the acoustics that are in there. My friend Steve, I introduced him this morning. Steve and his company, well, the last job they did was First Baptist Dallas. They did all the plans for the architecture, all the plans for the sound, all the plans for all of that stuff. So Steve came this weekend and Free Ross listened, and he's going to come back after we get everything done. And he's going to come back, spend a weekend with us, set up the sound, make sure that it's acoustically right and all that stuff. And again, free gratitude, he's going to do that. And we're just going to pay his flight out here. But that's a tremendous help. when you think about the expertise that he's going to give us. And so I'm very grateful to him and his willingness to do that. His pastor, by the way, was my pastor, Don Reed, was his pastor at First Baptist Chandler for many, many years. And that's where I grew up. So the floor, one of the things that he said about the floor is to raise the level of sound that comes from the congregation, particularly when the congregation sings. And that is to go from a fully carpeted floor to a hard floor, partially hard floor, partially carpet floor scenario. Looked at several different options. The one that we're really leaning toward right now is a polished concrete with carpet down the aisles that are there, carpet across the front where it's there. They said if you didn't have the carpet across the front for the sound, you don't want to bounce them off of there. The steps will be carpeted, what we're looking at, and the platform will be hard. It'll be a masonite, a black masonite, where it'll be hard up there. That's what he suggested. So we had a guy come in here and show some, and I have some pictures here, different pictures of the kind of flooring that we're talking about here. This is the polished concrete flooring. Now in this church, they done all the way down the aisle. Down our church, the aisle would be, regardless of what seating we have, down the aisle would be carpeted. Underneath where we sit, where we stand and sit and we sing, that would be hard. Okay? Next picture. Just some ideas of what that looks like. Now this is the contrast between the carpet squares, which would be down the middle aisle, and the stained concrete. That actually is taken at a Paradise Bakery. I just saw it there and said, hey, we should take that picture. There's more of that same one. They put carpet underneath where they sat and let the main aisle open. We're doing the opposite of that. And that's just more of a close-up of the carpet square. And those are, you know, whatever color. There's tons of colors. It just, the good thing about a carpet square is if we have a spill or something like that, we don't have to replace the whole carpet. We can just take up the square and replace it with another carpet square. So, I've shared some about the floor. Bruce, you have anything else you want to share about the floor?
I just add that as a stain. It's pretty much that is one solid color that they can actually make it look like marble. It doesn't have to be a solid color when it's stained.
Okay. Now, any questions on the floor, at the floor right now? Jan, please.
Okay. As a therapist, my concern is safety for people who are, it's hard for them to get up, and so their feet may slide out from under them. So what is the consistency of this in the sense of, especially with a rainy day, you have some wet feet or whatever, walking down an aisle that's smooth like this with a walker could be dangerous for some of our elderly, or trying to get up out of a chair, depending on the kind of chair or pew that we have. So is that being put into the equation at all?
Yeah, we asked them about that, and they're actually putting these floors in places like the restaurants.
Yeah.
Bash's has one. Has a floor, they are not made to be slick in that sense. In our church, the way people will come in, they will come in on carpet first. So wet feet will be taken care of before they get into the worship center. But we asked about that. We asked about the slippage, you know, that type of thing. And we were told these are not, they look glassy and they look slick, but they are not slick. I went to a church in Mesa, did a funeral there, and they had this done in the foyer. People came in and stuff. I asked the lady, what do you all think about this? For maintenance, for safety, for you know, that type of thing. And she said they love it. They said the maintenance is low, and they do not have a problem with people slipping in that way. That's the information that I got.
And that's what I was going to say. These photographs make it look very shiny and glassy, but every stained concrete floor that I have been on is not. It's matte finish. You know, it's not glassy like that at all.
Yeah. This looks like you can go ice skating on it.
Yeah, it does.
My concern is if we put a concrete floor on top of a floor that's already unsettled, we're just going to have further cracking in that concrete. So I think we definitely need to address
Yeah, of course. But this is not a new concrete floor. This is the existing floor, buffed out, stained. So it's not more concrete on concrete. It's a good point that you brought that up, because that's what it sounds like. This is not new concrete on concrete. This is the existing concrete that has been smoothed out, stained, and shined up that way. This is not new concrete.
Okay.
So I guess the point that I'm saying is, if we take care of the crack thing, we're not going to have new concrete cracking, because it's going to be the same concrete that's already there.
Because that is an incredible rift. Like the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah, and that's why I want to tell you guys,
no.
We can get in there, and it can be big issue, and that can change everything. So that's our first step, and I just want to give you tonight's point that I really want to do this, and so we can just sort of, you understand what the thinking is, and get on the same page. That's why we're not making any decisions about this tonight. I just want to get it out there. And because everything could change, we get underneath that floor, and they have to come in, and they could. And my friend actually told me that they had this problem in a church in Texas, I think it was, and they had to come in and take out a whole section of the concrete and re-pour that whole thing. That's a whole another big issue. So we don't know. But
in the foyer, are you looking at concrete going that way too, or is it going to stay?
Actually, the foyer, the look of the foyer is. It is as it is with the tile that's there, and the part that's carpet will be carpet again, and that will go right into the worship center and go right up the middle aisle to the front, just like it does right now. So that part that's carpeted in the foyer will remain carpeted, same as going in the full length of the thing. Any other questions on the floor? Yes, Ted.
My concern is whenever you have a concrete floor and the sound absorption, as far as any kind of echoing, or it can really, that has to be considered.
It is not, we haven't got the sound thing, but most, what Steve said today, and he said to us, actually he told us this several years ago, that we need to do a hard floor underneath where people sit. Not the whole thing, but where people sit. So when we sing out there, it projects out. The baffling for the echoes and stuff is going to be on the walls.
Okay.
So that is accounted for. And then what he does when he comes in is he sets up our sound system for that room. So it kills the echoing, it kills the feedback. He's talking about making it almost impossible to get feedback when he has everything kind of set as it's supposed to be set. But that's been... the other thing that we'll do, we'll actually add some dimension and color to the walls on the side. But yeah, and he told us that before about the bathroom on the wall, because we have we're like in a diamond shape, we're sort of turned in a diamond shape, so when the sound goes out, it hits this wall, bounces off that wall, it's doing this. And I see it happen every Sunday when I'm preaching that sound would not. But he said that's what happened, and that's why the sound guys have so much difficulty trying to get any control. There's no control in that room. It's just bouncing everywhere. And with those different baffles on the back walls, they will stop that bouncing from happening, and then you control it from the soundboard.
Another question regarding the cost on this type of flooring compared to, others. I'm not asking for a dollar figure, but how does it compare with, other types of flooring that's out there?
Bruce?
To carpet the whole room like it is now is about $30,000 to $40,000. To do the same concrete with the carpet is in the neighborhood of $20,000-$25,000. It's a little bit cheaper. And the thing to look at also is the portion of the floor that is the same concrete will be that way for the next 10 or 15 years. The carpet is going to have to be replaced. I've been told that this carpet here we should have gotten 5 years out of, and we've gotten about 13. So we've done really well. The carpet guys that I've had come in said this was one of the lower grade carpets they could buy. we've done really well, but the carpet eventually is going to have to be replaced. And this stuff is glued down, so getting it up is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Any other questions on the floor? Yeah.
Have the original blueprints, that construction, been reviewed carefully to try to figure out why that crease was put there to begin with?
You know, we had an engineer out here that looked at the blueprints, and the best thing that he told us at that time is how they poured it. They poured it in squares. It was not one full pour. So those are not cracks that have been caused because so much that the foundation is wrong. They are the natural cracks where they poured the slabs.
Those are expansion joints.
Expansion joints. So they were put there. So, I mean, I've been a big builder, all of us have, where they poured the whole floor at one time. They didn't do that here, apparently. And he's looked at that, but that doesn't tell him why this is doing that right there.
How many of you here tonight were here when that building was in its planning stages in construction? It was a project.
It was what?
It was a project. It was not done exactly as everyone thought it should be done. An individual who owned the company here offered to be the advisor or the administrator of the construction rather than going on a total contract basis. And therein, there were some problems that did arise and some questions that did arise over the construction of it. And probably those of you that were here may remember some meetings and such that lasted for a long time sometimes. But the understanding was just what you said, that the creases and such that show up there are not from construction that was faulty, that it was from the method
that was
used to do it. Also, many of you may recall that at the time we started the construction here, and we were informed that we had to raise that by 1 foot because we were in a floodplain. And that brought on some additional problems in the construction. It was a difficult time, let's put it that way.
It's building the thing is hard enough and everything's running smooth. But the good thing is, again, the foundation is good, the walls are good, and I don't know about the filter that they brought in, but we're still, this city or this community still doesn't know how to deal with the floodplain issue. We're still getting letters from the town of Cotton Hills about the floodplain issue that was dealt with when you guys did this. We have the plans, they're signed off by an architect and all that stuff, and they won't even accept the original plans. They want us to pay for another engineer to come out here and do all this kind of stuff to tell them what we already know. I don't know what we would do. If we didn't fit, what would we do? Would we just put jacks underneath here and raise us a little bit more? I don't know. But it's interesting, but when you deal with city governments, that's, you know, but yeah, you're right. The plan show that you can tell that this has all been raised up here, but they're still not satisfied, apparently, with the floodplain issue because we're still getting letters from them.
Those of us that have been here almost 30 years remember water running down that creek three or four times.
Three or four times. Yeah. Well,
Fountain Hills is pretty well known for its expansion soil too.
Yeah.
And you know that. I mean, I'm not an expert at that, but that could be something that's happening.
It sure could. And we don't. Again, when they brought in that extra dirt, this one thing the engineers were going to tell us. Nobody knows how well that's compacted when they raise that foot. Nobody knows. I don't think anybody knows. So that could be an issue too. And I think when he gets in there and looks, he'll tell us. All right, anything else on the floor? be in prayer about this. That's why I'm giving you this information. Be in prayer about this and trying to give you information why we're building the grounds and the people are trying to make these suggestions, why they're going the route that they are. Part of the hard floor again comes with part of our what's that? A hearing issue. What do you call it? Acoustic. Thank you. Acoustic issue. All right. Second thing for you to be thinking about is the seating. And part of the seating issue is a decision on this church. What, if anything, are we going to do with that building? Are we going to expand the usage of it, or is it going to be exclusively what it is right now? So the question is, what do we feel leadership for? Can we use that for more purposes than just for worship service? Can we use it for, like we had a good example would be like a Passover Seder, where we had to rent the community center. If we had this here like this, we could set it up and have that type of worship service in there. These are some thoughts to make it into a multi-purpose thing. These are thoughts for you to think about. To do that would mean we would move from the permanent pew setting to a chair setting, which also will make it where we can change it around. We can actually, during the summertime, we can take out sections of chairs where we're not spread all over the place. And I know some of you, that would be some of your favorite places to sit. Just some information for you. We've done a little footwork on this. We've done some information for the chairs and the pews. So my question, well, if we remove the pews, would they go to waste? And the answer to that would be no, they wouldn't go to waste. We have a sister church in Mexico that certainly could probably use some of them. But the Christian company that we're working with for the chair, what they do is they take the pews from the buildings that they redid the chairs with, and they refurbish them, and they give them to churches that cannot afford seating. So there is a good turnover there. They don't give us anything for them, but it's kind of a ministry to churches that cannot have it. The issue for the chairs also become a matter, and I understand this, a matter of safety, a matter of comfort. I'm sure not many of you would want to sit for one of my sermons on Sunday morning, because they're usually brief, I know, in these chairs. These chairs are not comfortable. The comfort factor comes in, and we met with a chair company, and we're going to put that chair up there. This chair is their main chair, called the Optima chair. I wish more of you were able to be at the funeral yesterday for Ruby, because the room that we were in, these were the exact chairs that we sat in. Very comfortable, more comfortable than our pews, and they have a curved back. They interlock with each other. The good thing about these chairs is different between our other interlocking chairs. Our other interlocking chairs always have the metal part sticking out on one side or the other. So we try to put them around these tables and stuff, someone's catching their grip. These, they have a post that comes down underneath the seat, the edge of the seat, and the interlocking thing has two holes in it. It swivels. So you can put them real close together, or you can put them a little bit farther apart. When you don't have them together, you can turn that back underneath there. There's nothing sticking out. It's very nice. Every part of this chair is 100% guaranteed. And from a company that's been around for a long time. Now, the other thing this company does, if we decide to keep the pew seating, is they also do refurbishing of the pews. Reupholster, there you go. I need my thesaurus. Is that what it's called somewhere over here? Okay. This decision, I think, falls basically on a couple of thoughts. What do we intend to do with that space over there? If we intend never to use it for anything other than what we're using it for now, the best thing to do is just put the pews back in. If we intend to expand the use of it for church get together, because this room we're in right now will handle crowded 100 people around tables. That's very crowded. You can't even hardly move and stuff.
Right.
That would certainly expand that over there. And again, the wear and tear on that would be minimal with the hard floor. So that's just some of the thinking. And any questions about that? Deborah, you got a thought?
Well, I'm all in favor of chairs and roller skating, whatever you want to do in there. But it's an incline, isn't it?
There's no incline in there. No, it's a flat. It's a flat surface.
Is it flat?
Yeah. Yeah. Did y'all hear her question? Her question was, the floor in our wooden service is inclined, and no, it's flat. Well, it's kind of inclined when you come in the door back there.
Oh, okay.
At least you know in a section about that wide. That's all we're going to fix. But no, it's a flat, I know, it's a flat floor. There is no incline on that floor. Yeah. Yes?
Is there a possibility that this facility that could change it to a chapel, and when you have a small worship place here, we can use some of our pews in here?
The problem with that is we're using this a lot for our children's ministry and stuff now. We're using this for our children's ministry and stuff now. And if we did that, then we would lose that ability, especially if there were permanent pews stuck in here. The versatility of this room would be very difficult for children and stuff like that with pews in here. Yes?
The other issue is if we're partially carpeting and partially not carpeting that room, and then go to the chairs for the versatility, is that done? Well, we wouldn't roll this.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, but the other thing is it would actually give you defined areas to put your tables up, and still entryways to the table sections.
Makes sense. You're going to be carpeting several aisles.
Actually, what the carpeting looks like, the suggestion is across the front, in front of the stage, like this, all the way down the middle, out into the foyer, and the two aisles that go like that, not the outside. But the two aisles would go like that. So there'd be three aisles of carpeting, and then one, two, three, four open sections.
How would that affect the back?
Well, we may bring carpet around the back, but we may not. We have to see what he says about that. Would it be beneficial to that? There's still a possibility that carpeting would go across the back. Mary?
If we end up going to chairs, what's the accommodation for things like Bibles and hymnals and the cards that people write on, and do chairs have that option of something in back?
The question is, if we went to chairs, what's the accommodation for Bibles, for things you write on? We can get those in like every other chair, every third chair.
Yeah.
They do have accommodation for those things. Some of those things I think could be done actually in our bulletin. We talk about our welcome cards and stuff like that.
I'm thinking the visitor things and prayer requests that people fill out, they're not so likely to tear out the bulletin as they are to pick up one of those cards.
I don't know. We've done them the other way, and we found we got more. Because they already had the bulletin in their hand.
Okay.
They didn't have to.
Yeah.
That's just my experience previous to that. They already had it in their hand, and they had a bulletin. They wrote it in there, tore it off, and put it in there.
Yeah. The racks that are on the backs of the pews tend to be more of a cleaning problem.
They are a cleaning problem, yes.
They
do become a collection.
Yes, they do. Right.
Side. So we do have the options, and we can decide either way to put them on there. Put as much. They have the different kind of things you can put on there. Some of them have underneath the racks or anything, you can put Bible or hymnal underneath. Underneath, you can do that. And so when you start putting pouches on the back and people grab them,
cool.
The other thing about these chairs, I want you to know, the difference between these chairs, we got one, I should have brought the one over, we got a sample of, terrible chair. The board is particle there. These chairs are not part of the board chairs. So they're built to last in that way.
So that means they're heavier, are they stackable?
Oh yeah, and they're all stackable, and you get a chair jack where actually one person can move a whole group of chairs very easily.
Okay.
any seating capacity?
No, but our seating capacity in the pews right now, there's two things. Pews, people have a tendency to spread out.
Yes, yep.
Chairs, people have a tendency to sit in a chair. Our capacity right now, figured at 2 foot a person, is 360 in pews, 360. Our thought was to buy 400 chairs, which would include the choir area too, the same chairs for the choir. So we would not lose any seating capacity.
Are these comparable in size and shape
yeah.
then to the choir chairs we have?
Yes. The They're the same width and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Ruth.
When I stand up, I need something to hold me. Would those chairs turn over if I...
They should. Well, it depends on how hard you do that, of course, but they are interlocking, so the whole row is tied together.
The ADA says that if we have more than 100 chairs, they have to be interlocked. So all the rows will be interlocked together. So if you're sitting in some row of red folded chair in front of you,
it won't do that.
That whole row in order
it won't do that.
Yeah.
I understand, and we talk about that too. For we have people that have to be able to get up and stuff.
Right?
Yeah. We asked the guy about that.
These chairs are much more stable than these things. They're actually by themselves harder to move to rock.
And that's higher.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're set up higher than these chairs. A little bit higher.
Just have a couple of concerns on the chairs. 400 chairs is going to be a very expensive proposition to do this. And do you really believe that we would use the auditorium for other, other things that would make it worthwhile? Spending the money on the chairs when we already have the pews that are paid for, and possibly using the money from what you would spend on the chairs for other things that are going to come up here, the air conditioners, roof, what have you, as well as different ministries that might be put toward.
And that those are all thoughts. Those are all thoughts that people have to think through. If the chair is going to cost approximately $20,000, I don't know what's going to cost to redo the pews and stuff. We haven't got that, but that is a question. The question about usage. I think we would use it. The question is it cost effective to use it in that way too? That's why we're giving you this information so you guys can begin to think about that. And you're gonna have to weigh that and see what the Lord leads you and say. You know what? We just don't feel like this is what we want to do, or this is what we feel like we want to do.
Years ago, we had, I went to a wedding in Phoenix, and I on one side had the chair thing, one side had a wedding, and you just moved over to the tables, you know, for reception. The same thing wanted.
We removed the pews more for space because we could actually put more people in the chairs than we could pews. At Skyline, we ran out of space. We brought in the chairs. But what it also allowed us to do was turn that into a multi-purpose thing, because we had a fellowship, just like normal Baptist church. We had this fellowship hall, and then we had our worship center, and we actually did weddings. We began to do weddings for round tables. The guests would come and set up their table. The bride would come in down the middle aisle, and the wedding would be done right there. I mean, there's a whole lot of different things, but we go back to, you know, we have to look at what the stewardship is overall.
What do we have in the way of a budget available for some of this, with everything that happened with the sprints and all of that? Do we have some big bucks available, or have we been spending that off?
Yeah, we have some big bucks.
You still have?
We have. If you look at the budget, you'll see it. There's over $200,000. And that's not budget funds. Those are excess funds. That's not budget funds at all. Yes?
One other thing that is involved is janitorial cost differential between taking care of pews and chairs that are together. You've got four bags there that are together and a whole row of them.
Yeah,
we did some investigation of that when we had the vote, certainly, how many years ago, when we built here. Mm-hmm. And we went to several churches and talked to those that had votes, and they enter into maybe your decision other than the fact that it is going to cost you.
Yeah.
From a janitorial standpoint.
Yeah.
It's a totally different cleaning process.
Yes.
Every Sunday, or every Monday, I should say.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay. Someone else? Yes, please.
Who would be responsible for reconfiguring the chairs for, you know, Wednesday night events, Sunday morning events? Who do you foresee that responsibility falls on?
Well, I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of reconfiguring unless you had a special event. And that special event would have, if it's a church-wide special event, then it would be our custodial staff that are part of that, the reconfiguring like they do in here when we do different things and stuff like that. In tandem with the hospitality group and stuff like that, just like we do when we do it in here. If we use it for outside people and stuff like that, that would have to be built into the cost. If you do a wedding in there like that, we'd have to say, you know, to use a facility, it's going to cost you this much, because we do have to have set up, tear down, all that kind of stuff. But for regular church thing, it would be our custodial thing plus our hospitality people, just like we have to do it in here. So again, something for you guys to think about, pray about. The two options. And what we're going to do, by the way, the pews are coming out next Tuesday. And what you'll see on the property is three big storage containers. The pews are going to go in there. We're already paying for at least a month of that. So that's why we don't have to make the decision right now. Give you time to think about it and stuff, and then we come back on the 20-something, then we hopefully will be ready to make a decision. And make a decision, then the chair company will take the pews, other than what we want to keep for maybe Mexico, if they want to use them. Or if we decide to keep the pews, and then we'll take them back out of storage thing, put them back in. By the way, we're probably going to have to grind down. There's pins that hold those pews in right now. We're going to have to pop them off and reset them a little bit, I'm sure. So,
our sister church at one time had pews. They lasted about, Pastor Alfredo spent months planning on how to get them down there. They came out of Tucson. And they were there for about, what was it, about 6 months, Tony? And then they had the hurricane flood.
Oh.
It destroyed everyone.
Everyone in the pews were destroyed, yeah.
So we were able, our church was able to go ahead and bring a bunch of chairs down just to go ahead and fill up their church, you know, so they had some place to sit. And they brought in the old wooden benches that they had before that they sat on. think that if this did become an opportunity, that I think Alfredo would be very excited about working with that. I mean, that's just what I think.
All right, so that's for you to think about. The next thing, anything else for you? The next thing would be the walls. The walls would be changed some. And they would have to be changed mostly due to the acoustics. I got it right? Acoustic. On the two back walls, the one that runs... The acoustic panels would go on those walls. They would actually look like big fabric panels that would match the motif.
Nice work.
Hey, I watched the home show stuff. But they're four by eight panels. Steve told us that we would need to cover at a minimum 60% of the wall. 60% of the wall. The more coverage, the better the sound control.
Under our scripture?
Huh? The scripture would come down.
No.
It's in your Bible.
maybe we can do something up front.
Because it's a statement to everybody in here. People that I've invited, that has become the topic of discussion. Like, what does that mean? It's the question.
We must change. You guys are pissed. We'll see if we can save the scripture.
We love that scripture.
It's 60%, so maybe we can go below it.
Hey, all right.
Maybe we can. His suggestion was that the top panels that you're going to see at the top end will come out, what do you say, 20 degrees?
5 degrees.
5 degrees.
Yeah.
So they're not flat against the top of them, not flat against the wall. They come out about 5 degrees. Then right below that, you have sound panels which are on the wall, flat on the wall.
These are 2 inches thick.
2 inches thick. And what they do is they baffle that. When that sound comes out of the speakers, it hits that and it stops jumping all around. It goes where it's intended. So that gives the sound people the ability to control that. And also, I heard today that I sort of echo when I preach. Do I echo when I preach? Whistle, echo, drone, something like that. But the other thing is that he told us the array of speakers we have right in the middle. Sound-wise, anytime you have more than three speakers together, you've got issues. So his suggestion was we leave the two middle ones where they're at, and we take the side ones out away from the middle and point them on those side areas. The other thing that allows us to do in the summertime, if we wanted to, remove the chairs on the side if we went that direction, we could turn off those two side speakers and just speak to the front room. So that was one of his suggestions too, because having four together does nothing but cause. Yeah, and the low.
It's called lobing.
What?
Lobing.
Lobing, whatever.
Lobing, of course.
I don't watch the sound channel, I watch the decoration. So we will work on the scripture issue. I like it there too, guys. You know,
of course.
You know that was only going to be up there for like a month when I did the sermon series for them and stayed there. Linda did such a good job at that. Yeah, that's going to be the hard to work at.
I love it.
It's been up there for quite a while.
I love it.
Yeah.
We'll just have to put it in practice.
Yeah. Put it in what?
Put it in practice.
We need to put it in practice for sure. Do you know that we talked about our sister church in Mexico, Pastor Fellowship? They, after they were here for Vacation Bible School, they went home and put that around their church. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's up there. It's up there. They painted it. They painted it on their wall all the way around.
It's in Spanish.
Huh?
It's in Spanish.
Well, it's in Spanish. It's no problem. It's no problem. I hop it, so don't worry about it. All right. So just so you know, the front wall he said, don't need any of that on them. So when you walk in there, you'll see the front walls will just be the walls and stuff right there. They don't need anything on there. It's where the sound is projecting against that back wall. It will also add some dimension to those big old walls and stuff. And it's very pretty when you look at it. Jim, yes?
Just because this is the opportunity, is there any way of getting some crosses in our church that aren't hidden behind the screen when we're doing the walls? Just to think about it.
I personally would like screens on the side so that can remain open. That's my personal preference. I like to have the baptistry visible.
Yeah,
I like to have the cross. I'd love to have screens or big screen TVs on the side or something like that.
I
would do that. So.
Well, just
we'll talk a little bit about that.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, you can put a lot of churches do that where they have a screen on each side where everybody can see, and that leaves that leaves your baptistry and your cross open. Stained glass window would be nice too. Okay. Hey, have you noticed there's no windows in that building?
I know that. When they build it, I know that. That's my one frustration.
Okay. Any other questions on the walls? Just to let you know, the last item of change in there is going to be the sound. And I already shared with you that Steve has already agreed to come and do, and he's going to talk to those who are in the sound booth and work with them. He's going to talk to those who are on the platform and work with them. Hopefully he'll spend a Saturday here working with both of them together. And with a board back there that is manageable and probably digitized, where that will work and where the settings, you know, those digital ones are nice because if someone goes up there and plays with the setting, the sound person, all they need to do is come up and press a button and it's back to the standard there. Which means that if the sound guys don't show up, that maybe I can go back there and play.
That scared me.
Yeah, that scared me. Don't touch it. There's a sign back there now. Pastor, do not touch it. So he has made some suggestions. He's made some suggestions on what's on the platform, including different the monitors. We have far too many monitors up there that are on the floor. Some monitors going to earpieces and stuff for some of the people up there. The thought that more of our singers would use handheld mics and teach them how to use handheld mics instead of the headgear. Just thoughts like that that he's working on, but he really, I'm just so grateful to him. He just wants to be here and help us get our sound the way it needs to be. So that the system that he's talking about, again, is not, he thought the price was pretty reasonable and we don't have a final thing, but it also makes it where we don't have all the feedback issues and stuff like that. It enables our sound people to hear things the same that's being heard on the floor, the system that he's setting up and stuff. So we'll get more particular before we do any of that, of course, to let you know the cost. I just want to give you an idea of some of the thought that's going in on that. And that's pretty much the renovation there of the worship center that we're thinking about as we move ahead. So, some things to pray about.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just a comment on the sound system business. We really need to trust this sound person. The working of a sound system is an art and a science. And it's never going to be received the same from each one of us because our hearing is very individual. So no matter what the man does, there will be some people unhappy with the sound system. Can't you just make it do this?
No.
You know, so we need to trust the sound man. And that's just, you know, God inspires sound men, just like he inspires pastors. And, you know, and we just have to relinquish some of that.
I'm looking for that in the scripture. All right. Yes.
What kind of guideline if we go to chairs? What kind of guidelines would be set up for what the room can be used for? Because I guess, and this is an old fogey personal issue, but I just feel like, I mean, we've pretty on the progressive church, and I, part of me tends to think, well, this is just one little way of slipping into what everybody else is doing, you know, changing the whole thing and making it user friendly. Well, I just wondered, what will the guidelines be? Or will there be?
Well, I certainly can't answer that right now because I haven't even thought about that. So, but
can we play that?
I just want to share my thought on the leap from chairs to progressive church. I think that's, with all due respect, I think that's a huge leap.
All the little things that
we're talking about, just from my perspective, we're talking about methodology now,
okay,
which has little to do with progressive or non-progressive situation. And I understand your heart what you're saying there, but I think whether we do or not, and again, we're not saying what we're going to do, whether we do the chairs or not, the heart of this church is that we're going to preach and teach the gospel.
Amen.
And whether we sit on the floor or on rocks or on chairs or on pews, our commitment is to remain. Yeah. So a change in what that building looks like, and even a change in how that building is used to expand that thing, is not, in my mind at all, a move toward any type of compromise of who we are. And I just say that so that as we pray about these things, you have my promise as your pastor that we're not going to go down that road. I'll be gone long before we go down that road. And I think what we've got to get in our minds. This is really important to me. What's important to me is not whether we go to chairs or pews. That's not important to me at all. What's important to me is that we get in our mind this, that we are a church, and we will be a church that stays true to the Word of God, that stays true to the call that God has given us, regardless if in 6 months the president says, all of you are illegal, get out of your buildings. It's not where we're at. It's not what we're setting on. It's not how that building functions. It's who we are. And I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I think we have to separate those two things, because they're not the same thing. I guess I don't know what else to say about it. That's kind of,
well, yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
With this, because I think of the early church, they didn't have pews, you know, and they of course met in their homes and they sat around tables, they ate, you know, they shared meals and all that. And I realized, you know, so often people say, well, it's not what you have, it's within the heart. Well, yeah, the heart reflects what, or your actions reflect what's in the heart. But and I know that is a far step. I'm not saying if we have chairs that are going to be a progressive church, or I don't think we are. No, but just some little something in me.
I think the reality is we're honest. We all resist change because we think we'll lose something.
Right.
That is important.
Right.
And in my heart and my mind, I would never want to do anything in this church that would cause to lose something that's really important. I would, and I've already said it before, if I thought that putting chairs in there rather than pews caused great hardship or heartache in this church, I wouldn't put a chair in there for $1 million. You see, it's really not that important to me. What's more important to me is that we're a church that's on mission. And if we can enhance that a little bit by some changes that we need to do without ever compromising who we are, then I think wisdom tells us to at least consider it. And then if we consider it and say no, then we say no.
I just like to say one thing to the group in general. The very first time Pastor Tony arrived in this church was then we had a Passover set up in here. And the thing that he's discussing now is the very first thing that he broached me with, you don't get half the church thing over there. And he said something that was really important at that time. He said, well, the church is not building. The
church is the congregation. We have to remember that it's, well, we as a group, as the fellowship, we're the church. It's not what we do with this building, what anything else happens. And that was something that this struck me. And I didn't know that. Just walked in.
And she came back.
Who are you?
You know what I'm hoping, and I think it's true. Hopefully in the last 8+ years, we've grown enough to know each other, to trust each other's heart. We may not always agree on everything, but that we have a, God has given us a unique fellowship. Go into places, you'll see a heart for each other and a heart for the Lord. And change is not always bad. It's not easy, but it's not always bad. But it's not always necessary, so that's why I'm saying we're praying about this. I don't want you to walk out here saying, I need to do this because the pastor said we need it. I want you to walk out here praying about these things. And try to pray the best way you can without going to the Lord, like I said this morning, saying, Lord, I really want our church to keep pews, so make it happen. Or, Lord, I really want our church to go to chairs, so make it happen. Like I said this morning, sir, Lord, we want your will. What is your will for what we do with that building? What is your stewardship for us for that building in the coming years? That has to be the question. And how best, right now, can we be used of God to use that building for the most effective way for the kingdom of God? That has to be our concern. And I'll just say that I have been troubled with how we've done, not this church, but churches overall, that we build a beautiful, and it is beautiful, beautiful worship centers or sanctuary that are used for an hour and a half a week. You spend $1 million on a building that's used for an hour and a half a week. I don't see that as good stewardship, personally. Yes?
I think we should ask ourselves a question. We currently have pews. The building we have is designed today. We can worship there, praise there, have certain types of services there. If you put chairs in there, can you still worship? Can you still praise, sing, have services there? Of course. What else can you do? All of a sudden now you've opened up opportunities. God opens up other ministry opportunities. We now have that option, which we don't have today. We don't have that today. You can't rip up pews. Chairs you can move around. You can do a lot more. You can still do the old worship. You can still do everything we do today. That doesn't take away. It actually opens up. I think, you know, change may seem difficult. And I'm not going to use any slogans like si se puede or anything like that.
I don't know what you mean. What's that?
It's a new model.
Yeah. It's also live. So. Well, that's a tape.
But I mean, if you look at it like this, you know, it doesn't change anything in terms of what we can do. It adds to it. It opens up our
It's something to consider and prayerfully consider. And that's all I'm asking you to do right now. So any other question about this? Or I don't want to shut anybody off that wants to share. Go ahead, Teal, please.
What's the process for making the decision?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How are the decisions going to be made? Is there a vote? Is it a committee? I'm not sure how that works.
Well, we will do most of the voting next at the business meeting on July 20, whatever day. What?
20th.
That is our quarterly business meeting. One of the reasons we want to give you that information now is so you have time. We don't want to spring it on you then and just say, vote right now. We want you to have time. So that's when that will be done. I'm going to tell you guys right up front, that doesn't mean we're going to have all the cost analysis. Because we don't know everything. We can have close costs. For the chairs, for the flooring, for those things. The flooring has to happen. Whatever we do, the flooring has to happen. So that's pretty much already set because we're, a week from today, we're tearing up that flooring. There's nothing, that has to happen. So the basic issue will be when we meet next time is will be the seating and any other costs that we might have to let you guys know about some of the sound stuff, which we don't have right now. But the church will vote on this. It will not be, chair of the pews will not be the decision of the committee. It will be the decision of the church body. Kim?
If I was the first going around there, I have to keep, I can't remember things, so I have to go to Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant I will make after those days. I will put it on your heart and write it upon your mind. Do we believe that? I struggle to learn, and then I go back, and then God puts it on my mind. I can remember it. And if when that comes off, think about that. Are you a new covenant Christian? You got to make that decision. I'll put it on your heart. He puts a verse on my heart. This might take me 3 days to remember it, but that is on my mind. But it's so exciting that I can remember that verse. Well, so when you see that go off, become a new covenant Christian. Does he say that? I'll put it on your heart, and I'll write it on your mind. And sometimes people try to put it on their mind before it's on their heart. God puts it on your heart and says, oh, that verse. And I can't get it out of my mind for days. Mm-hmm. So be a new covenant Christian, and don't worry about it.
Ted.
You know, what is the lead time for the chairs?
The chairs, the lead time, 2 weeks.
Yeah, we get the ones they have in stock.
They have the one in stock. I have a thing right here with the fabric. So you can actually check out the fabric on it and stuff like that, what they might look like. They're 2 weeks. If we went to, the difference is the chairs either have the metal on the back showing, which the dark colored chairs will. Where the chairs up here? Okay, you see up here, you see the metal coming down the back. This is not the color of chair we're looking at. This is a type of chair. So.
I like that.
You like that chair? Okay, some of you would.
I like that.
But the other option is that fabric being over the back, where you don't see but the color chair we're looking at, that metal will disappear.
The reason I'm asking is because if we're tearing up the floor, is the timing. Are we going to be able to time this properly if they do decide to change to chairs?
If we do, and they don't get in right in time, we'll probably move these chairs over there until they get here.
Well, but I'm saying when we're tearing up the floor, if the decisions be made that we're going to go to these chairs, then the floor being torn up and taking those pews out where they have studs coming out could be done at the same time.
The pews have to come out anyway.
Well, they have to come out
in. That whole building, a week from now, 2 days from now, will be empty. They're all coming out anyway.
And the studs have to be taken out anyway.
Yeah, it has to be taken out anyway.
And new studs have to be put in, and
right.
The pews are going back in.
Right.
So if we are going to put the studs back in for the pews, we need to have this decision made prior to that.
Yeah, before we put the studs back in, yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think we'll be ready by the 20th. To do that because of the wall situation and all the stuff that had to happen.
Okay.
But yeah, in case anybody missed it, all the pews come out. All the carpet comes up. That whole building will be done, and then that whole floor will be inspected, and the raised parts will be leveled off, and like I said, on the platform, it will have a hard surface on top, but around the edges, you will still see carpet on the steps and stuff. But it all comes up.
So they're
going to
bring that up to the tile where the tile is coming up to?
The tile will not come up, just the carpet in the foyer will come up.
But I mean, we have tile that's being raised that right now is a danger to some of our people.
The interesting thing about this tile here is the tile's not moved, it just cracks if you look at it, it just cracks the grout.
But they're actually raised, there's edges of those tiles raised that are going
to
come up.
We'll have to have him look at that, yeah.
I've caught that a couple times.
Okay, yeah, we'll have him look at that. Because what I understood, it just cracked the grout, not just didn't raise.
Are they
going to
repaint everything in there?
Yeah, the building will be repainted. So the walls will be done.
I like green too. How about orchid?
No, not orchid. I'm waiting for purple to come out.
Oh, I love purple.
Yes, Ruth.
I'm wondering. Chairs there, and you have to move a lot of them out. Where are you going to store those?
Would
you use
it
for other
people? Well, when you're not using them, you actually can store them against the walls.
Those stack.
They stack.
But will that metal thing down there, will that not damage them?
No, there will be no metal sticking out. What you see here, that metal thing, that's actually underneath the chair.
But when you stack them?
No, they're made to stack on each other.
Okay.
And even with this, you see where that rail is? You can buy, we can buy the racks that go in there for the books that we're at, and when you stack them, that rack disappears up underneath the chair. So like, it stacks. It stacks perfectly.
I just see this as an opportunity to really place our trust in this. Because being here with the first building and all everything that we went through, we lean on our own understanding an awful lot instead of resting in the Lord. And like today's Sunday school lesson and other things, God is really, I think, going to test us as to have we learned anything in the 8.5 years? You know, have we learned that God really will guide? So I like what you're saying. This is really a spiritual thing. And we really need to approach it as a spiritual thing.
And that's that's the whole point of this meeting here tonight.
Absolutely.
I don't want to spring it on you 3 weeks from now and say, make a decision. I really want you to pray.
Right. Absolutely.
It needs to be we need to learn to make these decisions from the spiritual perspective.
Absolutely.
Not just from preference. And we may come together, we may not all agree, and we may move in a direction, and we have to trust the Lord for that, or we may not move in a direction, we have to trust the Lord for that.
Amen.
Because in the big scheme of things, this is not the main issue.
Right.
And I want you to keep that perspective too. All right. Anything else before we go? Thank you for your questions. I hope kind of give you an idea of what the committee's thinking about, what we're thinking about and stuff. Some things like the floor has to happen. That's going to happen. We can't get around that. The seating and the sound, we will deal with more with that as we come together in a couple of weeks. I'll entertain a motion we adjourn for special business.
So moved.
All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Ken, what's your prayer, please, for this minute?
Father in heaven, once again, we thank you.